I'm your host, Meryl. Welcome to episode 6 of The Story of Captain Charlotte. Last time on The Story of Captain Charlotte, Charlotte's crew continued to grow as they welcomed Cressida as Master at Arms. They also met with the Master Astrologer, who revealed the location indicated by the Star Egg. Once there, Captain Charlotte and her crew found a hidden island populated by sleepy fairies. The fairies asked Captain Charlotte to retrieve their stolen dozing flute. They promised that upon her return with the flute, they would outfit Captain Charlotte's ship for travel to the Mystic Realm. Now they're on their way to Baratucci Island to get back the flute. Let's see what happens next, after a short break. Hello, friends! We're so glad you're enjoying Season 1 of The Story of Captain Charlotte. Before we start production on Season 2, we need a little help from you to make it happen. That's why we've created a Patreon. As a Patreon member, you'll receive tons of benefits, including access to our behind-the-scenes podcast, Below Deck. With membership tiers as low as $3 a month, there's a place for everyone on our crew as we sail towards Season 2. To join our Patreon, just follow the link in our show notes or search The Story of Captain Charlotte on Patreon.com. We'll see you there.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
The Story of Captain Charlotte, Chapter 6, Gianna. When they arrived, Charlotte paid to dock her ship in port and traveled into the bustling city of Millie on Baratucci Island. People sped in every direction through the streets, busy with all manner of business. Street vendors with stalls full of colorful spices, whole smoked fish on hooks, and beautiful produce lined the main street. Charlotte noticed a fruit she'd never seen before and approached the stand where it was sold. A small girl appeared from behind the box of unusual fruit.
Hello, friend. How can I help you?
What is this fruit?
Oh, that's called a blood pear. They're my favorite, but Mama says to save them for our customers. 2 coin.
Per pear? Oh, that's steep.
Oh, okay. Well, Mama says I can sell them 3 for 5 coin, but only to nice people. Are you nice?
Well, I'd like to think so. Hey, do you know anybody who lives here who isn't so nice? Maybe someone with a big scar on his face?
Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about him. That's Mandrake. I've heard Mama and Auntie V talk about him. I think they called him a mad scientist. And he's scary looking too.
He has something I need.
Oh no, you better be careful.
Why?
He's just... Oh, I shouldn't say, but... Well, Auntie V said Mandrake and his wife went on a fancy vacation to the Burn Mountains after they were married. I think she called it a honeycomb or something. Anyway, I guess Mandrake came back alone, and with that big scar you mentioned. Auntie V said she doesn't trust him, that he probably did something awful.
Do you have any idea what happened to her?
Oh, I don't know, I'm just a kid. No one tells me anything. All I know is he lives in the burned-out church at the edge of town. Mama told me stay away from him. My mama's pretty smart, so I'd steer clear if I were you.
I see. Well, thank you for your help. I'll take 4 pears. 3 for me and my crew, and 1 for you.
Oh, thank you, miss. You are nice.
Charlotte and the young vendor exchanged coin for fruit and went their separate ways. As they continued down the street, Charlotte, Pinnock, and Cressida enjoyed their pears. Blood-red juice ran down their faces onto the cobblestone street. Charlotte had never tasted anything so uniquely delicious before.
So, Captain, is our next stop the burned-out church that little girl mentioned?
It is. Either of you ever meet a mad scientist before?
Well, I've heard of them, but only in passing. Apparently, they use science and magic to conjure all kinds of terrible things. Not exactly the company I like to keep.
By the time Charlotte, Pinnock, and Cressida reached the church, the sun was almost set. The abandoned church was blackened from a fire that must have raged decades earlier.
We need to see inside, but it's not like I'm gonna knock on the front door.
See inside? All the windows are boarded up.
Not every window.
Cressida pointed to a stained glass window high on the church with a piece broken out. In a matter of seconds, Cressida scaled the building and reached the window. Her cat-like movements impressed Charlotte. Charlotte climbed up after Cressida. Pinnock began to follow, but Charlotte asked him to stay on the ground as a lookout. Inside, Charlotte and Cressida saw a man lying in the middle of the floor, fast asleep. His scarred face was framed by long strands of greasy silver hair. This was him, the man they were looking for. Lit dark red candles surrounded the sleeping man. Charlotte could tell the candles had been burning for quite a while as they were melted into wide wax puddles on the floor. As Charlotte looked closer at the man, she noticed a shiny object clutched in his hand. The long metal object gleamed gold in the candle light.
The flute! It's in his hand, on his chest, look!
Well, depending on how asleep he is, I could probably take it without him waking.
Charlotte nodded, and Cressida lowered a rope into the church. Charlotte and Cressida carefully descended the rope so as not to alert the sleeping man. Cressida approached with light steps. As she passed into the circle of burning candles, Cressida's eyes grew wide with shock. She looked around the room as if she were surrounded by something incredible that Charlotte couldn't see. Cressida motioned frantically for Charlotte to join her. Charlotte snuck forward. When she crossed the candle threshold, Charlotte understood Cressida's reaction. As if she'd stepped through a portal into another dimension, Charlotte was suddenly surrounded by snow-covered trees. A blizzard blew through the thick forest. Charlotte and Cressida could see and hear the blizzard, but couldn't feel it. Up ahead, Charlotte saw the silver-haired man, but now he stood behind a tree watching something in the distance. In his hand, he clutched the dozing flute. Charlotte stepped closer. Her footfalls were deafened by the blustery storm, which meant the mad scientist couldn't hear her approach. As she closed in on the man, Charlotte followed his line of sight and saw what he was watching. In an icy clearing, a large, lumbering, furry, snow-white beast dragged a dead stag by the antler. The beast walked on two legs and wore a disgruntled scowl on its dark blue face. Moments later, the beast stopped, knelt down, and sunk its teeth into the side of the stag. Bright red blood ran down the beast's face and stained its fur. In that instant, the mad scientist's shoulders slumped. He released a heavy sigh and turned away. That's when he saw Charlotte and startled. Charlotte saw long streaks of tears on the man's scarred face. After the surprise wore off, the mad scientist's face filled with rage.
Who are you? What are you doing here?
My name's Charlotte. I've come for the dozing flute.
The flute?
Oh, of course. I knew the fairies would eventually send someone after me. I'm afraid I can't give it to you.
Why not?
Because I need it. It's the only way to see my sweet Gianna.
Gianna? Who's... Is that Gianna? Charlotte pointed toward the white-furred beast.
It is. Well, it was.
What happened to her?
Gianna and I were married. On our honeymoon, we traveled to the great snowy mountains of Bern. She'd always wanted to see them. It's a landscape of incredible peaks and rare creatures. She loved wildlife. On one of our hikes, Gianna was stung by a poisonous frost hornet. We didn't know it, but we happened to rest near one of their drift nests. Poor Gianna didn't even have time to run.
Wait, so the frost hornet turned Gianna into that?
No, I did. The frost hornet's sting is incredibly deadly, but it's not a quick death. Over several days, the venom surged through Gianna's body, painfully turning her organs against themselves. Eventually, they would start to fail. I couldn't bear the thought of such a fate befalling my love, so I resigned to save her. I threw myself into books until I found a creature that was naturally immune to the frost hornet venom. The Northern Yeti. Through a complicated series of spells and chemistry, I infused Gianna's ailing body with the lifeblood of the Yeti. I only saw my Gianna healthy and well for a few short minutes. But my cure was actually a curse. Before my eyes, she transformed into a hideous creature. She attacked me and fled into the mountains. After she disappeared, I spent years searching for a way to transform her back. And I figured it out. But alas, my body is frail. Even if I could make the journey up the mountain to find Gianna, I wouldn't be able to capture her and bring her back to my laboratory.
I'm sure you could hire a team of mercenaries to capture and bring her back to you.
I spent my life savings researching ways to return Gianna to her human form. I have no money to pay any mercenaries. So now I spend my days watching her from a distance. As if I can't be with her, I at least want to be able to see her. It's why I took the dozing flute.
I don't understand.
The dozing flute has the power to put its player and anyone who hears its music to sleep indefinitely. Only when the player plays the waking tune will the sleepers awake.
The scientist reached into his coat pocket and revealed a glass orb. Swirls of blue and purple filled the ball. The dozing flute works nicely in tandem with this. It's called a finding crystal. It allows the possessor to locate and observe anyone in this realm, but only during sleep. So, you see, as long as I sleep, I can watch over my dear Gianna.
Wait, that ball can find anyone? How's it work?
Oh, you simply think of the one for whom you are searching as you drift off to sleep, and the finding crystal will take you to them.
Charlotte instantly wanted the finding crystal so she could locate her mother and father. She knew he would never give it to her, and she wasn't a thief. So Charlotte set her mind to figuring out another way of getting it from him.
Cressida, could you scale such a mountain?
Easily.
Thought so. Sir, I have a proposition for you. If you give us the flute...
Never!
Let me finish. If you give us the flute, you have my word that we will travel to the mountains of Bern and capture your Gianna. Once we deliver her to your lab, unharmed, you'll let me use your finding crystal.
Your word?
I don't even know you.
But you must know we're honorable. There's two of us and one of you, old man. If we wanted to, we could have overpowered you by now and taken the flute.
Cressida, please.
Sir, our goals are the same. I, too, am on a quest to find lost loved ones.
You can spend the rest of your days watching Gianna from afar, eventually withering away in your sleep. Or you can put your trust in someone who understands your plight. Yes, you will be without the flute, but you can still visit Gianna when you slumber. And when we return, I vow to make good on our deal.
You truly believe you can do what you say?
I do.
The scientist lifted the gold flute to his lips. As he played the soft waking melody, the snowy landscape around them dissipated. Back in the burned-out church, Charlotte looked down as the scientist roused from his sleep and stood.
Here. Please, hurry back.
The scientist handed Charlotte the flute.
We will.
And I will be here, waiting.
With the flute in hand, Charlotte and Cressida left Mandrake behind and met up with Pinnock outside.
What happened in there? Did you get the flute?
Well, we heard a very sad story from a very unusual man, but yes, we got the flute. Let's go.
Are we really gonna come back and help him?
Of course! My word is bond. Remember that, both of you. I will never go back on a promise. Now, let's get this flute back to the Carpenter Fairies. A very unusual man indeed. Off they go back to the Carpenter Fairies. And then to the Mystic Realm? I can't wait to share Chapter 7 with you next week.
The story of Captain Charlotte is written, produced, and performed by Meryl Opsahl and Mark Opsahl.
If you liked what you heard, please help us out by following our show and leaving a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. For updates and behind-the-scenes fun, follow us on TikTok at Story of Captain Charlotte and on Instagram at The Story of Captain Charlotte. If you'd like us to post your drawings or for media inquiries, you can email us at thestoryofcaptaincharlotte@gmail.com. And if you want more from us, check out Mark's debut novel, Lifecast, which was named one of the 100 best indie books of 2022 by Kirkus Reviews. We'll include a link in the show notes. See you next time!
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.